If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and while you're turning there, he's talking about giving flowers to people while they're alive. Y'all got some good cooks in this church. I mean home run stuff. And I'm going to be eating on it tonight and tomorrow. Because we're staying up here in the apartment, and my wife loaded up four trays. I don't know how many of them's dessert, but I'm going to find out tonight. All right? So I may have one of them visions tonight. Y'all believe in visions and dreams? That's when you eat at 11 o'clock. Next thing you know, you feel like God's trying to tell me something. Amen? If you got your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, tonight we're going to look. This morning we looked at what am I, you know, all week long, by the help of the Lord, God could change my mind. We're going to ask questions. What do I do with this? What do I do with this? Because everything that gets dropped in your lap and everything that comes your way in your life takes you to a crossroads of faith. Every single thing. You know, I believe before a person gets married, they should ask this question. Did God send this person to me? Amen. I believe if you're a member of this church, you should be able to stand up and say, this is where God wants me. Amen. And by the way, if God puts you here, that means some long-tongued, gossiping Baptist ain't going to run you off.
Amen.
Because God puts you here. That means the only person that can make you leave is God.
Right.
Amen. That means if the pastor was to resign, which don't worry, he's very happy. He's made that clear. That means you don't leave if he resigns.
Right.
Yes. Because you didn't come for him.
Right.
You come because God told you to come.
Amen.
You see the difference? That means if the youth program falls apart, you don't leave because you didn't come for youth program. You come because God told you to be here.
Right.
I believe every decision and every crossroad we come to in life, we have to take a step by faith or not by faith.
Right.
And this morning we ask ourselves this question. Our journey began when God asked us, what are you going to do with your soul? And then as we continued that journey, what do we do when it seems like God's not there and God's a million miles away? And hopefully you've got the answer. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to stay the course. And tonight, as we go on this journey, we have to ask ourselves this question. What do I do with the pain? What do I do with the pain? Because if you live in this world, you hurt, do you not? If you live in this world, the Bible promises us, in this world, the words of Jesus Christ, ye shall have tribulation. And if you're godly, you're going to have more. Yea, and all that are godly shall suffer persecution. So there's more that comes with it. Now don't worry, I'm going to try not to leave you depressed and in a bad mood tonight. We're going to try to encourage you. But before we get to that point, we have to ask ourselves this question. And we have to be real. A lot of times we come in church and we put our fronts on and we act like we have no pain, we have no problems, we have no issues. We've got it all together. But if there's one thing I believe we're missing in American churches, it's this. We've forgotten how to be real. Just real. And as I've been in churches and now been in more churches than I was for 16 years because I was in my church. And you get tunnel vision sometimes when you're in your church. But as I've been exposed to several different churches, I've come to realize that every church has the same thing, and it's this. We put a facade up. And we put that facade up because we want other people to see we got the joy of the Lord and we're happy and things are going good. And there's more lies told at church than anywhere else. Did you know that? Because what always happens? How you doing, brother? Brother, I'm doing good. You're lying through your teeth. You're about to die. And everybody, and you know it and God knows it. How you doing, sister? Just good. Just fine. Just fine. But you'll know if you're truly bearing one another's burdens in your church. When you look at somebody, say, how you doing? She says, well, I need you. I need your prayers. I about had it up to here, and I about had all I can take. And one of the reasons we're not real is because we're afraid of what other people may say.
That's true,
bro. What other people may think. But tonight, just like we was this morning, we realize our faith takes us bare and transparent before God. Tonight, let's be honest with our pain. And let's be honest before God. And I believe when you get in your prayer closet and you get real with Him, then a lot of times you can do nothing but cry. A lot of times you can do exactly what Romans 8:26 says, I can't even pray but my groanings.
Right. That's right.
My groanings, the Holy Spirit can take them groanings and He can put them into words, take them right to the throne. I can't talk, but Lord, all I can do is cry. And He says, that's a pure prayer. I'll just take it to the Father from there. Because He sees your pain. Amen? And there is pain on this journey. And tonight, as we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, and we looked at that this morning, we looked at that, the faith, the faith, the faith. Tonight, we continue that thought as we end chapter 11, verse 39 tells us this. These all, having obtained a good report, we talked about this morning, through faith, they received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Perfect means complete, mature, fully grown. Chapter 12, listen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our what? Our faith. This week we're talking about faith, and in our pain, we're carrying our pain, we're carrying our scars, we're carrying our heartaches, we're carrying our burdens, and the Bible says we're to run this race with endurance, with patience. And let's be honest this morning or tonight, we're in a marathon, not a sprint.
That's right.
And as we're in this marathon, it's a long race, it's a gruesome race, it's a tiring race. And as we go on and go on and go on, the Bible says we should do it with endurance and with patience. And we keep on fighting in endurance and endurance and patience. And then at the end, we're to be looking unto Jesus. But the only way we can look unto Jesus and complete this is we got to do something with this pain. And the Bible tells us, what did we do with that weight? Lay it aside. Lay it aside. Keeping that thought. Turn with me to 1 Peter, and some of you know where I'm going. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and we continue that thought with that pain. 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us in verse number 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all my care upon Him, because He cares for me. Anyone's ever been in excruciating pain? Raise your hand. I'm talking about excruciating pain. Now, a lot of you women think us men don't know what pain is, and I will give my wife credit. Her pain tolerance is like way up here, and mine's way down here. How many of you wives will say, man, I'm married to a baby? Right? Right, amen. See, one honest woman in the whole house. I'm married to a baby. You have children, you raise them, then you got to raise your husband too, do you not? And when we get hurt, I mean, we lay it on thick, do we not? I'm dying. And we lay it on thick. Well, I seen my wife give birth and go through that, and she went through it like, I mean, like just amazing, amazing. And I was like, that's just admirable. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was in there, and to see her go through that and go through leading up to that, the pains, the contractions, and all those things. And then with our daughter who's getting ready to get married, my wife was sick for 9 months. I mean, when you know, a lot of times when a lady's expecting, she may have morning sickness, a sickness for 2 or 3 months, and it goes away. My wife still had it after she gave birth in labor and delivery. I mean, and my daughter is full of like that. So we think that's where it come from. All right. So, and hopefully she won't watch this online. So y'all keep that secret. But I seen her go through that, and I got a glimpse looking from the outside. But until you are experiencing pain, a lot of times we just are not as sympathetic as we need to be. Amen. Well, fast forward years after that, I still remember going about my merry way, going on my day, and the next thing you know, I didn't feel too hot. And I just didn't feel good. And I started just feeling yucky. And before you know it, there's this pain started hitting me in my back. And there's like this dull ache, and I thought, I'm going to go home and lay down for a little while. And I went home, and we got a finished room downstairs, and I just went down there and laid down in the dark and just laid there. And I thought, I'll feel better in a little bit. And the next thing you know, the longer I laid there, the... And it sounded like somebody taking a knife and sticking it in my back and kept on turning and kept on turning. And I got up, and my wife, she was in the health field before we had children, and so she's the doctor of the family. If anybody's got a problem, we ask her. I said, something's wrong with me. I'm miserable. I am hurting so bad. And before she could give me a diagnosis, I was on my knees, begging, praying. I was having revival. Willing to fast, willing to give God my right arm, whatever He wants to say. I mean, no, I'm praying and begging God. Next thing I know, she says, I think you better go to the doctor. I think you may have a kidney stone. If you've ever had one, you know what pain is. Amen? That's pain. But that's just one example. There's more. But I can identify with that because it hurt. And it hurt so bad that all my pride went away. By the time I got to the doctor's office, I'm on my knees on the sidewalk. I ain't going in there. I don't care. By now, she's lost control of me. I ain't going in there. I don't care. I'm dying. I'm miserable. I can't take another step. I'd already vomited from the pain and this, that, and the other, and I'm on my knees in the doctor's office. And you know what? At this point, I don't need anybody's explanation. At this point, I don't need anybody to give me the scientific and the doctor terminology and reasons. I don't want to go through, well, this causes this, and we do an x-ray, we'll find this. I've got one desire. Stop the pain. Just stop the pain. I'm dying. Somebody stop the pain. And I remember I would have done anything, just relieve my pain. Well, I'm preaching to people tonight. You listen to me well. Tonight we're going to be honest before a holy God. How many of us in places in our life, I'm not talking about the physical pain. I'm talking about those relationship pains. I'm talking about them spiritual pains. I'm talking about them dark nights when Satan's taking that, got you in the crosshairs, shooting them fiery darts at you. He's taking your mind like a sponge and wringing it out. And them dark thoughts come to you. God, I'd rather just die than get up in the morning. And that pain comes, and that depression comes, and that anxiety comes, and that pressure comes, and that stress comes. And you say, if you're saved, you don't experience that. You're lying.
Amen.
You're lying. Some of the greatest men of God that ever walked the face of this earth experienced deep, dark depression. Do you know that Charles Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers, sometimes couldn't even walk to the pulpit on Sunday because he was depressed?
Right.
You know, Elijah found himself sitting under a juniper tree just saying, all right, God, I'm done. Take me home. Can't take it anymore. But we won't talk about that in church because we need to drop the facade tonight. We need to realize there is pain. In this world, there's pain.
Yeah.
And we all want one desire when we're in that wine press, as Ralph Sexton used to say, and you're getting stomped on and pressed and pressed and pressed. Somebody just give me relief.
Yeah.
And what will we do? A lot of times we'll try to numb the pain.
Right.
That's the reason the alcohol industry is huge.
Right. Yeah.
That's the reason marijuana and drug use is at an all-time high. Numb my pain. Numb it. Stop it.
Right.
Somehow make it go away.
Yeah.
We try to find coping mechanisms to escape from our pain. First, one thing I've noticed in America, it don't matter how much economic pressure and economic struggles we get in, people will find ways to spend money on escapes.
Right.
We will. We'll find ways.
Yeah.
We'll find ways to, if we can't afford the light bill, or we can't afford the phone bill, or we can't afford this, we're going to find a way to finance, to borrow money to get away from the stress and the pressure and the pain.
Right.
Because we're looking for relief.
Amen.
And I believe we could reach a whole lot of people in this world if the church would wave the banner.
Amen.
I know what pain's like, and I hurt too.
Amen.
But there is relief.
Amen.
There's a pain medicine.
Yeah.
And we got to, every time we get that pain handed to us, and some of you may have some in your lap tonight. And if you don't, I got bad news for you. You're probably going to have it handed to you before the month's over.
Yeah.
You're going to get in another situation that's going to break your heart. You're going to get in another situation that's going to make tears roll down your face. You're going to get in another situation that's going to make your heart just break. I know what it's like to have a broken home. I know what it's like to bury my mom, to bury my dad. I know what it's like to be in an oncologist's office with my 18-year-old sister. And they tell her, you got lymphoma, and you're looking at a stem cell rescue at the University of Duke, or you're not going to live. And I could go on and on and on and on. And you could too. And you could too. But before we look at the answer, we need to be honest about the diagnosis. There is pain. And that pain is real. And that pain hurts. And if you'll slow down sometimes and read the Bible, and slow down, instead of just reading it through, trying to finish a chapter, and you read these men and women's stories, and you put yourself in their shoes, realize, I bet they had some high emotions going on. I mean, you read the story of Abraham and Sarah, you realize that God told Abraham decades before Isaac was ever born, I'll give you a child. Now, God promised him something. You imagine how many nights him and Sarah sat up and said, are you sure God said that? Are you sure? Imagine Harry and marital fights they had over that. You say, I don't believe that. Well, she laughed at God.
Amen.
She laughed at him. Imagine how many times, you know, it went on back and forth and back and forth. Imagine how many times Satan jumped up on Abraham's shoulder and said, you're a fool if you believe that. Imagine Noah when he was building that ark. And everybody's laughing at him. See, we've got this picture that Noah is an angel from God. He was a human.
Right.
Imagine when he was driving them nails and cutting them boards and his own family would walk by and laugh at him. You don't think that hurt?
Yeah. Right.
There's pain there. Constant pain. And so tonight as we realize that, we realize the reality of pain. We got one thing to do with this pain. Just like I handed your pastor this morning, I handed him that Bible. That's your soul. What do you do with your soul? That's your most prized possession. But when you get that pain handed to you, and that burden gets heavy, and a lot of times it ain't a little book. I've done this illustration before and piled book after book after book till you can't hardly hold it anymore. And that's what that pain's like, because it's an overwhelming burden. And a lot of times what we do with that burden is we try to deal with it on our own as well. Or we try to take that and deal with it and try to take that and get rid of that pain and try to throw it here and try to find solutions. And God says, won't you do with that the same thing you did with your soul? Won't you cast all your care upon me?
Amen.
For I care.
Amen.
I care.
Amen.
For you.
Yeah.
You think about that. If I had ever domes on you, God cares for you.
Amen.
God cares about you.
Amen.
And God cares about your pain. So tonight, let's look at three things about our pain. I don't care what your pain is. This is universal and true. Number one, a lot of times when we have pain, we ask this question. God, why? Why? I don't get it. And the million-dollar question a lot of people ask is, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do we go through this? Why does this pain here? Well, the best answer I can give you, and a lot of boy, people say some stupid things right here, let's be honest. People come up, sometimes when you're standing beside your loved one, and they'll come up, and you're sitting here weeping over your dad or weeping over your family member, and they'll walk up and they'll say something crazy. Well, God just wanted another flower in his garden. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Amen? Well, number one, it ain't true, but number two, then you know what I'm thinking? Well, what kind of God takes my dad just to have a flower? I mean, you know, and people say crazy things. So, and let me help you be a good friend and a good church member. Don't say things. Just say, I love you. Just say, I love you and I'm praying for you. Because the more you say, the worse it is sometimes. So, but tonight, why do bad things? Why? 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 So the first thing I can say about this pain is this. We need to understand and come to the reality that we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. And if you're looking for a place with no pain, it does not exist here. If you're looking for a body that don't hurt, if you're looking for a family that doesn't have issues, if you're looking for a church that don't have problems, if you're looking for a job that's perfect, you're looking for a vacation that's perfect, You're looking for anything at all that's without flaw, you're setting yourself up for more pain. You can expect pain because we live in a fallen world. The Bible tells us the whole creation groaneth.
Right. Yeah.
The whole creation's groaning.
Amen.
What's it groaning for? Redemption.
Right. Yeah.
Do you realize there's briars, there's ticks, there's mosquitoes, there's annoying rodents. The world's full of... We're cursed. Did you know that if you take a cat and a dog and lay them down beside each other, you're probably going to have a fight? Why? Because we live in a fallen world. Everything around you is cursed and fallen by sin. But we try to have heaven on earth. Did you know that people make advertisements like that? They try to sell people a piece of heaven on earth. A piece of heaven. A piece of heaven. And we keep on chasing it. We're like a little hamster in the wheel. Chasing something that you can't get. Amen? You can't get it. We live in a fallen society, a fallen world. And just because you got saved don't mean God automatically put you in heaven. And just because you got saved don't mean automatically that God gives you a glorified body.
Amen.
Just because you got saved don't mean God gives you a glorified mind.
Amen.
And just because you come to church don't mean this church is perfect. There's only one perfect place, and sin can't enter there. And as long as you're in this body, you can't get there.
Amen.
One of these days we're going, though.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know why heaven's perfect? Because it's never cursed by sin. Sin cannot enter in to a place called heaven. So tonight, let's quit expecting the unreality of no pain. Expect pain. Expect it. Realize it's part of life. You say, well, Pastor, you said you're going to give me some good news. Well, hang with me. Number one, why do these things happen? Because I'm still cursed by sin.
Amen.
I'm still cursed by sin. This body you're looking at is not my heavenly body. It's not my heavenly body. It's not my heavenly mind. Our country still cursed by sin.
Yes, sir.
No matter where you go on the face of this earth. Me and my wife took a trip this past year. None of you will feel sorry for me after I tell you this. But we had a 25th anniversary scheduled. And now we've been married 26 years. But when we were married 25, we had this great trip of a lifetime scheduled. And we were going to go to the South Pacific Islands. Anyone's ever been there? French Polynesia. I mean, it was going to be amazing. But the whole trip got canceled. But then this past year, the trip opened back up, and we thought, we're going to treat ourselves and go on this anniversary trip. And we did, and we went. Man, I remember going, that's the most beautiful places I've ever seen on the face of the earth. I mean, it's amazing. I'm talking about, it's truly like you see on the postcards. The skies are blue. The birds sing. The sand is white. The water's so blue, you can be out there neck deep and still see your feet. It's amazing. And it's warm all the time. And I had to tell my wife she needed to stay in the will of God. He had to get back on the plane and go home. Honey, you can't stay here forever. But you know what? Even that place, as great as it was, you know what was still there? Sin's still there. Sin's still there. And that's not a perfect place. And even there, I didn't have a perfect day. Because everything is cursed by sin, including your children, including your parents, including your marriage, including your pastor, including your church. It's all cursed by sin. See, when you realize that, it takes your expectations of expecting heaven on earth. Jesus tried to tell us, expect it. It's part of the life that you live in. It's part of the world you live in. You know what that does? That makes heaven more special.
Amen. Yeah.
It makes heaven more special. So we go on. How are we going to do with our pain? We're going to give it to the Lord because we trust Him. By faith we trust Him. What am I going to do with this pain? Number one, I'm going to trust You, God, that this is a fallen world. Number two, I'm going to put my pain in perspective. I'm going to put it in perspective. Look to what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He careth for you. But then He says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, not only do we live in the fallen world, but we have an adversary. And when you put this in perspective, we have an adversary. He's increasing the pain. And then He says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the what?
Faith.
Say it.
Faith.
Resist him in the faith.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, you ever, let's be honest, you ever look at lost people and say, oh, they got problems, but they sure seem to be happier than I do. You know why? Because they're dealing with the fallen world, but we're dealing with the fallen world plus an adversary. Plus an adversary. But how do we handle this? Resist him in the faith. In the faith. But then you go on down and look what it says here. We're going to put it in perspective. Verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. When you put it in perspective, you know what verse 10 says? And you can underline it and put exclamation points and shout it out right there. Verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ, after that you have suffered what? A while. You, when you put it in perspective, you know what I remember? Suffering is temporary. It's temporary. There's nothing going to come my way that's not going to pass. There's no storm that's not going to pass. It's going away. It's temporary. And a lot of times we get in such a place, we think this pain and this storm and this depression and this dark days that we're in and this valley we're going in, we're stuck in it and we can't get out of it. One of the things that bothered me, I've had 3 kidney stones now, and one of the things that sent me into a tailspin, my second one was this. Why won't it stop? How long will it last? I just need to know. If you just tell me, am I going to pass it in 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Just tell me and I can deal with it. But how long is this going to last? And I remember driving myself crazy because I thought after I had the first one, I had the formula figured out. And I had this formula. I thought, I'll take this medicine. And I found out if you sit in the hottest water you can stand, you can sit in there and just, and you get relief. So I did that. But then I realized the pain ain't stopping. This ain't working. And so I tried to, and then I got even more struggled because how long is it going to last? You know, a lot of us won't just get me out of it. Just get me out of it. Just make it stop. Get me out of it. And you'll do anything, scratch, claw, and beg, and anything. But remember, the Word of God's true. After you suffered a while, it is temporary. I promise you, it's temporary. And tonight we could have a testimony service for the rest of this service, and I could have people stand up all over this house and say, I was in a storm, but it passed. I was in a storm, but it passed. I was in this valley and it passed and it passed and it passed. And every single one of them, we would all leave saying, well, it all passed. They're all temporary.
Amen.
Every one of them is temporary.
Amen.
And tonight we need to see God's word's true after you've suffered a while. But not only that, when you put it in perspective, not only is it temporary, but it also tells me here that God will give you the medicine you need.
Yeah.
He'll give you the medicine you need because it says in verse 10 that after you've suffered a while, what will he do? He'll make you perfect. He'll establish, he'll strengthen, he'll settle you.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do for you. He didn't say, I'll make it go away. He didn't say, I'll fix it. But he said this, I'll give you some strength.
Yeah.
I'll establish you.
Yeah.
We'll get through it together. We'll get through it. Just cast it on me. I got it. We'll go through this. I'll make you strengthen, perfect, settle. I'll establish you. How many of you have ever realized the most growing time of your Christian life is when you're the weakest? That's growing pains. That's when it hurts. I'm glad you're in church and I thank God you're here tonight, but you're probably not going to grow as much here as in the dark nights. That's when you're going to grow. And that's when your face is going to get revealed. That's when you're going to find out, do you have the stuff? That's when we're going to find out, can I trust God? Do I trust God? It's when everything's turned upside down and the lights go out and I'm feeling alone and hot tears rolling down my face. Now I'm getting ready to grow. I'm getting ready to grow. That's when you're going to find the strength of God. Even Paul went through that. If you'll remember, he said, I had that thorn in the flesh and I prayed and I sought God. Matter of fact, I prayed 3 times. I sought him, I sought him, I sought him. And finally God showed up and said, I ain't going to fix it, but I tell you what I will do. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. I found the strength of God. See, tonight when we put our pain in perspective, we realize God still is on the throne. He's on the throne. And one of the things when that happens and we're in a whirlwind and we're sitting there and it's hurting and that pain's more than we can bear and our head's spinning and everything's going out of control, one of the things Satan wants us to forget is that God is on the throne. And he wants us to forget that it's temporary. And he wants us to forget that God's going to give us strength. He wants us to forget all that. And the next thing you know, we're spinning so much, we'll do anything to stop the pain. And that's when a Christian usually steps out of the will of God. And that's when a Christian usually turns the wrong way and he says the answer is, won't you take your pain and hand it to me? Cast all your care upon me because I care for you. I care for you. And another lie Satan will tell you is, God's forgot you, God don't love you, God don't care about you. But I promise you, God does care about you.
Amen.
He cares about you. You say, well, why don't he make it stop? Because you're in a fallen world. And not only that, he's trying to show you his strength. He's showing you strength. He's going to show you his power. You know when I found God's strength the most? When I'm the weakest. Now I love the power of God. I've been in services somewhere they've shouted. I've seen them take a chair and hold it up, a folding chair, and do that. I've seen ladies scream. I've seen the pastor get off the platform one night, go running, went out the back door. And I thought, great day, where'd he go? Next thing I know, he come in the other door, come running down the aisle, shouting, I love it. Man, that's good stuff. That don't scare me. I'm like, hallelujah. Take another lap on me, boys. Shout it out. And when that lady sings right there, I like it. When people, amen, praise God, that's good. I like all that stuff. I mean, that's good. I like to see the glory fall, don't you? But you want to see the strength of God? Don't find it in a revival service. You'll find it when I'm all alone. I'm all alone and Satan's jumped on my back. And my depression's kicked in, my anxiety's kicked in, my worry's kicked in, and all of a sudden these thoughts are coming to me, and my mind's getting wrung out like a sponge. And the next thing I know, peace like a river floods in. And I said, wow, I found him a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You say, you believe that? I know that, because I've lived it. And this is the testimony that needs to happen in churches a lot, because there's a lady sitting over here that's been saved 5 months, and all of a sudden now her world's coming upside down. And she got told on TV that when she gets saved, right, or got told in church when she got saved, everything will work out perfect. She's been lied to.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the reason they get saved and they serve God for a year and then they're gone. And they say this, it just didn't work for me. No, you just wasn't taught what it's all about. There is pain. That's when I find the strength of God in a supernatural, mighty way. Now, you don't think these men in the Bible, they experienced those things? And if you want to see the glory of the Lord, you got to throw through the suffering of the Lord. Let me give you the third thing tonight. Number one, if you want to find what to do with your pain, realize I'm in a fallen world. Number two, put it in perspective. Then number three, you got to do this. This is where you truly just hand it to Him. Because I'm submitting at this point to my circumstances. See, a lot of us fight our circumstances, but once you submit to those circumstances, and I realize the purpose of my being is to glorify God. Now, I just said a mouthful right there. For all you Bible theologians in here, what's the purpose of the Word of God? What's God's purpose in dealing with mankind? There's only one purpose. To glorify Himself. To glorify Himself. That means for God to show Himself to mankind.
Amen.
God wants to show Himself to mankind. If that ever dawns on you, that's your purpose for being
right
here.
That's right.
Your purpose is not to be happy.
That's right, brother.
Amen. Your purpose is not to be happy. Your purpose is not to have a great life. When God wakes you up tomorrow morning, Monday, God didn't wake you up for you to have a good day. That ain't why He woke you up. God woke you up to glorify Him. That's why He woke you up, to glorify Him. To glorify God means this. I'm like a mirror revealing God. That's what Christians are supposed to be. Everywhere I go, may you see the glory of the Lord. That's what you need to see. See, but the purpose of my pain is to glorify God. So number one, I need to see the real reality. Number two, I need to put it in perspective. And number three is I need to realize my purpose is to glorify God. Now, staying with that purpose, follow me here. Staying with that purpose, look at verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Then you go on down, verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us, he called us unto his eternal what? Glory. He called me unto his glory by Christ Jesus. After they have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion. Turn back with me to our text verse, Hebrews chapter 12. Listen at this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know where God's place of glory is? On the throne. On the throne. God reveals himself. You know what I'm telling you what the greatest thing about heaven going to be one day? We're going to see him in his glory.
Amen.
We're going to see. Glory means God revealing himself. You see the glory of the Lord. You know what everybody in here tonight is? You're a trophy of the grace of God. How many are saved?
Amen.
You know what you are? God's showing you off. That's why Satan hates you. Satan loathes you, hates you. The Bible says, Jesus said himself, don't marvel if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you.
Right.
Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at this verse. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, many of us read Ephesians chapter 2 and we get excited. We read the verses and we build up to right there where it says, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And boy, right there we get excited, don't we? That's exciting. But before you ever get there, you ever thought about this? Look in verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen at this verse, verse 7. That in the ages to come he might what?
Show.
He's going to show you off. For ages to come, he says that for ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's one of the joys about coming to church right there. I'm serious. You think about that. Why, this morning, you know what you are? You know the reason Satan hates you? Because when he sees you, he sees a trophy of God's grace. And he hates you. Hates you. I'm a big sports fan. Huge sports fan. And I remember, I don't know how it is over here in Tennessee, but over in North Carolina, in every high school gym you walk in, as soon as you walk through those double glass doors, the first thing you see is this massive trophy case. Big trophy case. Because every school wants to show off where they won a battle. They want to show off where they won a championship. And it don't matter if that trophy, gold trophy, is from the 1950s. They still got it up there. And you're like, my word, that's before basketball was ever even, did they even play with tennis shoes then? I hadn't heard any of his feelings, but did y'all play barefoot on horseback or what? You know, we won, we're showing it off. And you know what, they want everybody to see their glory, right?
Yeah.
You know what church is? You know what Christians are? Look at that, Satan. Look at that. And every now and then, I think, you know what he does? He holds us up and sticks us out there and says, let me show them off. You lost them. You know what happened to that couple this morning?
That's right, brother.
You know what that couple is this morning? Tonight, they're a trophy in the trophy case. And Satan is furious. I lost them. Boy, he's mad now. Because now every time Satan sees them, he sees a game he lost. He sees a battle he lost. He sees the glory of the Lord. God revealed himself on the cross through Christ Jesus, and they just seen that and lost them. Lost them. Makes you mad. That's the reason Satan hates you. Now you fast forward. It ain't just the salvation. Every time you go through a storm, every time you go through a battle, every time you're in that excruciating wine press, you're in that pain that you can't take anymore, here's your chance. Stay with the stuff and trust God, because after the suffering comes the glory.
Amen.
After the pain comes the glory. Do you know you can't have a resurrection until you have a cross? Do you know you can't have a rainbow till you had a flood?
Right.
Do you know you couldn't have a Passover till they was in bondage? Do you know that Elijah on Mount Carmel couldn't have called fire down from heaven till he got in a battle with the 400 false prophets of Baal? Do you know you can't rejoice tonight that David slew Goliath until they had a battle where Goliath was winning? There ain't one piece of glory that didn't come without sorrow first. Not one. That's where the glory of the Lord's revealed. So tonight, every time you're going through that battle, and every time you're going through that storm, and every time it's about to overwhelm you, you need to realize, God, I'm going to hand this to you, and I'm going to gas this on you, because I believe and I trust you care for me. You care for me. So I'm going to give it to you. And when it's all said and done, I'm going to shine the glory of the Lord. I'm going to shine. And then all of a sudden you realize this pain is starting to ease off a little bit. I'm starting to get a little relief, because I realize God's got a purpose. God's in control. And God's on the throne. Tonight, let me help you with something. Take that pain and cast it on the Lord. Cast it on the Lord. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen.
Give it to Him. And don't take it to Him saying, God, this is what I want you to do with it. Take it to Him and say, I just need relief from the pain. Even if you don't fix it, even if you don't make it go away, I just need to take a breath.
Amen.
And as long as I'm carrying it, I can't do it.
Yep.
So I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to cast it on you. Now you think about that for a second, and you look back at Hebrews chapter 12 and you look at verse number 1, and the Bible plainly tells us, you know what everybody in heaven's doing tonight? My musicians, if you would come on. Hebrews chapter 12. This morning we talked about those that have been tortured, those that have been afflicted, those that have been destitute, those that have been sawn asunder, those that have been stoned, those that have been scourgings, bonds, and prison. We talked about all those people. We talked about some of those people who've been through those battles. Then you get to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Listen to what the writer says. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that was to so easily beset us. You know what's going on tonight? I'm running this race, and boy, every step I take, here's a burden. Every step I take, there's a burden. And then there's another burden. And them burdens are getting heavy, and they keep on piling up on me, piling up on me, piling up on me.
Amen.
And I'm learning what to do with them burdens as I go. You know what it says? Cast it aside. Lay it down. That don't mean, let me figure it out and I'll do something with it. It means, throw it away. Give it to the Lord. Cast it aside. Then I take another step, and another burden some says, do the same thing with that and trust me. Cast it aside. And I cast that one aside. And I realize now what's going on. Every step I take on this journey of faith, and those pain comes, every step I take, there's a crowd of witnesses around me. Think about that tonight. That crowd of witnesses, you know what they can all testify to? Amen. Keep on walking.
Amen.
It works. I'm telling you, it's worth it in the end. Keep on walking.
Amen,
keep on walking.
Right.
Keep on trusting Him. The glory's coming. The glory's coming. I'm telling you, the glory's coming. And boy, you take another step. And then all of a sudden, crowd in heaven, hallelujah, I'm telling you, it works. Take another step.
Amen.
Take another step. You know what a witness means? A witness means they're saying, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I can agree with that. I can witness to that. I lay eyewitness that works. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. And one day when we get to heaven, as soon as I cross that finish line, everybody's going to gather around. Hallelujah, glory to God, son, you made it. Good job. You've done exactly what God told you to do. And I'll see my dad and he'll say, glory, hallelujah, son. Welcome to the glory of the Lord. John will say, glory to the Lord. Me and Brother Vinoy will be together one day up there. Welcome home, son. Wasn't it worth the battle? Wasn't it worth the fight? Wasn't it worth the burden? Wasn't it worth it all? Welcome home to the glory of the Lord. And all of a sudden I keep on walking. And the next thing you know, I believe my mama put my arm around me and say, boy, I know you're glad to be here, but let me show you the one that you've been living for the whole time. She takes me right down Hallelujah Avenue, right to the throne of God. There sits Jesus Christ. He says, welcome to the glory of the Lord. You don't think that's worth it? You don't think that's worth it? But a lot of us, we're on this journey, and that pain and that pain and that pain keeps coming, and we won't trust God by faith that it's part of the journey. We won't put it in perspective. We won't trust God that sufferings bring forth glory. Suffering brings forth God showing us off. God's showing us off. You don't think God, listen, sometimes God shows himself off by answering a prayer and healing somebody. And sometimes God shows him off by taking a loved one and reburying them. But whatever, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not happy with God doing that. My purpose is not to be happy. My purpose is just to glorify the Lord. Because you know why I'm here at Bible Way tonight? I want you to see God. I want you to see him. You know why I go to Mozambique? I want them people to see the Lord. See the Lord. You know the only way they'll ever see the Savior? It's through God's people. You say, well, creation shows the glory of the Lord, but they can't get saved seeing creation. They have to see Christ. They have to see Christ. You know the only way my children will ever serve God? They got to see Him. They got to see Him. I got an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old. They're in a prime crosshairs of Satan. You know what they need to see in that little woman back there and this man? God. I'm not familiar with your city, but Kingsport, Tennessee's got lost people by the bukus. You know what they need to see? God. There's a youth pastor sitting here. He deals with teenagers. He knows. They're going through all this stuff. You know what a teenager needs to see? God. They need to see Him. They need to see Him. And the only way they're going to see, instead of us bellyaching, whining because our life ain't perfect, why don't we say this? God, if that's what you want to do to show off, then show off. Here I am. I just want to be a trophy. I just want to be a trophy. I just want to show your glory. I want to show who you are. Tonight, let's bow our heads. Let's think about that. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. Let's lay aside that weight. Lay aside that weight. You say, Pastor, my children are breaking my heart. Pastor, the doctor's report's driving me crazy. Pastor, my mind. Pastor this, pastor that. Ah, you're in a good company. Great cloud of witnesses will agree to the same thing. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to say, you're right, preacher. There's pain on this journey. I'm a living testimony, pain, pain, pain. And it's Monday night of revival. We can't have revival until we deal with our burdens. Can't have a burden for a lost person till you realize my purpose is to glorify God. And you get victory. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, sir, ma'am, would you be honest and say, pray for me, preacher. I know what that heavy load's like. God bless you. Thank you. Slip your hand up. Pray. I want to, boy, tonight, I want relief. I want pain relief. Pain relief. Pain relief. Let's cast it on Him tonight. Let's, as God's people, gather around this altar and say, I'm ready for pain relief. I'm ready for relief. I'm ready for it to be in perspective. God, help me. I need help. I need help. Let's stand. You come. Join these already in the altar. Will you come, ma'am? Will you come, sir?